Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We've been...
He fizzled already. Oh, just kidding.
Yeah. This might get violent here. I'm not sure. All right. Well, it's been something we've been looking forward to for a long time, to get able to preach to you all. And we thought about it. It was about 2 months ago, I think. Pastor gave me the opportunity to preach Wednesday night. And the Lord laid a real burden on me. Well, it's been on my heart for a long time. The burden about the fear of God and how we just don't really see it in our culture and how really we don't see it in our church either. Our church is in America. And so the Lord really wanted me to preach that message. It was not an easy one to preach. But then after that, we got talking about it. And we were like, we need to continue on this. This is such a big topic. Oh, the fear of God. It's woven throughout this book. And you cannot miss it if you're reading the book. And really, you can't miss it if you're walking with the Lord. And so this morning, we're going to have a little talk about the fear of God and how it applies to Christians. So if you take your Bibles and turn to Amos chapter 1, we're going to start off there in Amos chapter 1. And while you're turning, just think about this for a second. And I want you to turn your thinking caps on this morning, because I know it's early. Okay, I know. I'm not going to ask you to think for a long time. But there's my first point this morning. And it's really, I'm going to say the first part of this sentence, and then I'd like you to finish it for me. Whom the Lord loveth, good job. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And that's kind of the theme of this morning, because Christians are not above chastening. And when we've been looking forward to this morning, a few months ago, we got talking about it, and the lack of the fear of God in our culture is normal. People who are not saved generally don't fear God the way they ought to. But something that is true in our churches, if you haven't noticed, the fundamental style churches in America have drifted more towards focusing on, which is great, I'm glad they focus on the grace of God. The grace of God is so important, but at the same time, you cannot properly see the grace of God unless you are seeing also the fear of God. You cannot see the grace of God correctly unless you understand from what it is that you have been saved. You have to understand both. And if you do not, if you focus on one rather than the other, the legs of the lame are unequal. You're going to be hobbling along in your Christian life. If you focus on the grace of God, you're going to have a distorted view of what it is. You're going to say, oh, God is love and he never judges. God doesn't judge, and so we shouldn't judge. And so we should just let stuff go and mind our own business. And well, okay, that touches on our culture quite a bit. Where we feel like we should not tell people that we're sinners. And before God, we stand condemned without the blood of Christ. That's something that we have a real problem with in our culture. It's a satanic lie that we should not fear God because God is love. God is love, but we should also have that respect for him, but not only that. Not only respect. Take another step further, and when you do sin, you should say, wow, I deserve death right now. And if you don't remember, there's a lot of Christians in the book. Christians, New Testament, Bible-believing Christians, that send themselves into the grave. And that can happen nowadays too. And I don't think it's happening in this room. I hope it's not. But if it is, listen up. You need to start fearing the Lord. And when and not only that, when we fear the Lord, I know in certain areas we're really good at fearing God. When I get to study this book and preach it, I'm terrified to get up and preach it to you, because the Bible says that those that call themselves masters or teachers, those that stand to preach the word, they'll receive the greater condemnation. God will say, you took it in hand to preach my book? What did you do with it? What did you do with my book? And let me tell you, that makes me tremble. I realize that when I stand up to preach this book, I got to do the best I possibly can with it. But at the same time, while you're doing that, maybe I'll forget that I should not do this sin because God is watching me. You got to keep it focused. You got to grow in this. Grow in the fear of God. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to be growing the way you ought to. In Amos chapter 1, Amos, Amos was a preacher. He was a country boy. I can relate a little bit. Amos went to Israel. Now, at this point, Israel was separated from Judah. They were a split kingdom. And so they were actually warring with each other upon occasion. They went to war. They were not friends. And so Amos, he goes into Israel, and he starts preaching to people about the judgment of God coming. And you can just imagine, he goes into a city. I don't know where he went, but he went into a city. He started preaching certain things. He said, "For three transgressions of Syria, of Damascus, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." And then he pronounces fire upon the walls of Damascus. And you can just imagine, Damascus was the enemy of Israel. They've always been. At that point, they would have been persecuting Israel for years. And you can just imagine the people in Israel there, "What's this country boy going to be preaching to us? Oh, I like this preaching. All right, yeah, bring it, preacher. We're behind you. Yeah, preach that fire upon Damascus. We like that kind of preaching. Keep it coming." And then he keeps going. And he says, "For three transgressions of Gaza out in Philistia." Yeah, we hate the Philistines. You keep on coming. Keep on. Shake that bush, preacher. You know, bring it to us. We want to hear that kind of preaching. "For three transgressions of Tyrus, Edom, Ammon, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." And you can just imagine they're getting all fired up about this. They're like, "Yeah, God's going to save us from our enemies." And then he goes on. He says, Amos chapter 2 and verse 4. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof." And they're thinking, "Ooh, Judah, they're our brothers over there. Yeah, we're against them right now. Yeah, we've been warring with, yeah, bring the fire on them too, God. We're behind you with that." Well, look what he says next in verse 6. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof." That's not the kind of preaching they like to hear. They probably lost him right there because they believed themselves to be special. And they are very special in the sight of God. They're a chosen generation. And God has promised to not wipe them off the face of the earth, but they believed themselves to be above the chastening of God. And they had done things that maybe were not as bad as other people, but they had sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. They'd panted after the dust of the earth upon the head of the poor. They had taken advantage of people. They had been greedy and selfish and prideful, and they'd done a lot of other things too. But God says, "I'm going to bring fire upon you because of that." And they didn't like to hear that. You know, I had this syndrome when I was a kid. I remember one of my favorite birthdays ever. When I was about, I think, 7 or 8, I had my birthday party, and I don't know if I ever had another birthday party after this, for probably good reason. But there was this they had a big birthday party. They had candles, they had cake, they had games and prizes and all the whole shebang for me, because I was special. It was my birthday. It was my birthday party. And so I was doing the Duck Duck Goose game. No, musical chairs. That was it. And we were doing musical chairs, and I knew the prize was a recorder. I wanted that recorder. Yeah, I was the birthday boy. I wanted that thing. And so we did the musical chairs, and we went around circles, and I remember kind of cutting around in front of people, you know, and cutting corners and getting into that chair, trying to. And it came down to me and one other person. And when the music started, I went around, there was one chair left, and I remember staring at that chair. I want that recorder. And when the music stopped, my friend sat in the chair. I was like, "Oh, he won. He won the recorder." And so I think my mom came and handed the recorder to him, and I don't know what came over me. I went and I grabbed the recorder. I started pulling at it like this, and I was trying to get that recorder from him. And this is what solidified this memory in my mind more than anything else, because out of nowhere, a big furry hand from my dad came up and lifted me off the ground by the seat of my pants. And of course, I flew through the air and hit the wall and slid down. No, I didn't. But, you know, I got a good spanking for that. And I thought, there's no possible way that I can get a spanking on my birthday. I'm the special one. I'm special, right? Well, when D.L. Moody, his child, came up to him and said, "Oh, okay, fine. I'll get that story to you next time. Keep on going.
This is kind of fun. I never was able to shut up a preacher before. I kind of enjoy this. You know, we did work on this for a long time, and we was looking forward to it. But I'm going to change the direction a little bit. Yes, we need to fear God. But if you go James chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says this, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles." That's an amazing statement. The word "believe" there simply means faith. But, you know, I want to look at that word "tremble." It means to shudder. It means to fear God. Satan fears God. Why don't we? You know, when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, what brought me to that was the fear of God, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And I was feared that God would condemn me to a place called hell. That was a fear. Then I got to ask Christ to come in my heart, and all of a sudden that fear kind of disappeared. I don't fear God like I should. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't. And I need to learn to fear God. Why? Why do we fear God? Number one, because it is our duty. As Christians, we need to fear God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." I noticed something while we studying this. It says, "Fear God and keep his commandments." As I was studying many other verses on the fear of God always came first. Commandments, love, walk came second, third, fourth. But fear comes first. That tells me in order for us to fear God like we should, or to walk the way God wants us to, we need to learn to fear God. I think each and every one of us need to examine ourselves and see where we stand with God. Do we fear him? Do we stand in awe who he is? Why fear God? Because it is our duty. Because, number two, because he can kill the soul. Men can kill the body, but they can't cure the soul. If you go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and it says, "And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather for them that which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." That's what brought me to salvation. That's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. It made me realize that God can send me to hell forever if he so desire. I had to be saved. I wanted to be saved. I hungered to be saved because I didn't want to burn forever. And as life goes on, that fear became weaker and weaker. Shame on me. And we need to fear God because it is our duty, because he can kill the body and soul, and number three, because he is the final judge. Think about that for a moment. Someday you and I are going to stand before God. Oh, I think we're going to bow the knee. I think we're going to get on our knees and say, "God, I'm sorry." And he's going to say, "Judge us by the works." As Christians, he's going to judge by the works we've done. I see so many things in churches that we occupy a pew and we don't go out and do what God wants us to do. We need to get to work. I think of the souls in Lenawee County. 110,000 people in Lenawee County. Think about that a minute. Over 99% of them is going to burn forever in the lake of fire. Think about that a minute. Why? Because we're not going like we should. We don't fear God like we should. I fear for them. I fear that someday God said, "Depart from me, I never knew you," and cast them in the lake of fire forever. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? How many people have you talked to? Is your neighbor? Are they saved? Are you afraid to talk to your neighbor, afraid to make fun of you? In our neighborhood, I'm called the preacher. And they kind of hesitate doing it like they used to have loud music. And I complained about it and said, "Look, you can listen to your music, but I don't need to listen to it. Please turn it down." And they didn't do it. I ended up calling the police. They got a $100 fine. And the police told them, "The next time you do it, you get a $200 fine." Hey, the music went down. Those people moved out of the neighborhood. Okay, I guess they didn't like me because I was known as a preacher. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says this, And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work. I want to stop right there. He judges by our works. Now, good works does not save you. But when we get saved, we need good works. We need to do what God wants us to do. And one of those things he commands us to do is go soul winning. But we don't fear God like we should. Therefore, we don't do what he says. We don't keep his commandments. The last part of that verse, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Hey, we're journeying through this earth. We have so many years God allows us on this earth. Do you fear God? Do you stand in awe who he is? Or do you just take him for granted? I hear the unsaved call him an old man upstairs. I hear him talking that he has a cane and long white hair and beard hanging down. I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart. Do you fear men more than you do God? Are you afraid to go out knocking on doors because you're afraid somebody might say something to you and slam the door in your face? I remember a time when I was a soul winner with Brother Don Pickenpaul, and a guy threatened to blow our head off with a shotgun. I was amazed how Don handled that. He wasn't frightful. He wasn't mean. He says, you know what? I fear God more than I do you. And that's why I'm here. There was another case where a farmer out in the country had three dogs locked up. And we was talking to him. And he said, sir, I give you 5 seconds to get off my property. I'm going to turn the dogs loose. And I looked him square in the face and I said, sir, I wish you'd receive Christ as your personal Savior. I said, get off my property. I said, you know, you can let those dogs out. And those dogs can attack me, but God also can stop those dogs. Who do you fear? Do you fear God, or do you fear man? Brother James will come back.
Good stuff right there. Sometimes I wonder if I've told the same illustration twice. Maybe that's why he stopped me. That was good preaching right there. That was convicting. In 1 Peter, he was mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 17. And in this, I always like to read this because it made me feel good about my future. And that's good, it does. It makes you feel real good about the fact that you're getting purified. But there's also something else here you need to understand. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. Well, let's start in verse 16. It says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here. And what's that word? Fear. Ooh. And people say, well, that just means holy reverence, right? They respect God. Well, yeah. But the word is phobos. It's like phobia. It's like you're trembling. That's the word. That's what it means. It means trembling. Because you know that God is judging you according to your works. And that doesn't mean he's going to send you to hell if you don't keep up the good work. No, no, not at all. But the fact is, whom the Lord loveth, yeah, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And he that spareth the rod hateth his son. And that's hard to imagine. I've got to tell you, I wondered if I told you it before. I might as well tell you. That one I was just about to tell you about Evangelist D.L. Moody. And one time, his little son came up to him. He's like, Daddy, you need to spank Jimmy. Because Jimmy said words are bad. You know, he wasn't going to say the words, but he's like, Jimmy said, you know, bad words, and you got to spank Jimmy. And then Evangelist Moody's like, I'm not going to spank Jimmy. The little kid looks up and he's like, why? And the evangelist looks down and he says, he's not my son. You don't go spanking other people's kids. I hope you figured that one out, all right? But and that's the way God operates too. I mean, eventually the unsaved are going to be judged for their sins. But if you wonder, as Asaph did, how are the wicked people prospering to such a degree? I mean, they have all the money and wealth, and they're not sick. They don't go through stuff. Well, the fact is, the Lord loves you, and he wants to make you more like himself. And if you're not going through any kind of troubles, that's cause for concern. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And sometimes he'll send you through something, not even because you're sinning, but because he wants to teach you something through it. But you know, there comes a time, as Peter tells us, he's like, don't suffer for wrongdoing. If you're going to suffer, make sure you're doing it because you did right. Make sure you're suffering because the world hates Christians. Don't suffer because you did wrong by people. And so Peter tells us, he says, without respect of persons, he judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And notice this verse, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were not redeemed with petty things like gold and silver, or by tradition, petty things. You were redeemed by something that was far more precious than anything else in this universe. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And it cost Christ more than we will ever know to bring salvation to us. And then we'll go along our merry way, and we'll do whatever we feel like at that moment. And we'll, as Hebrews says, trod underfoot the Son of God and make the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. If you choose to do that, which we all do at times, we do that. We don't respect the blood of Christ as well as we ought. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Because the Lord, who counts the blood of the covenant a very precious, precious thing, might be inclined to punish you, to chasten you, and spank you as his child, and say you're not going to get away with that. And if you remember, there are Christians in the Bible who, because of their wrongdoing, have been taken home early. Ananias and Sapphira. I think Pastor Rogers said a couple weeks ago that they were probably better Christians than any of us because they gave probably more money than any of us gave. They sold their possession and they said they were going to give all their money, but instead they gave part of it and they held part of it back. They lied to the Holy Ghost. And God decided to take them home early because of it, as an example of how you need to take God seriously. Now I just wonder, what have we pledged to God? What have we pledged and promised to God? We've promised many times that we will live our life to honor Him. We've promised, and many times we've gotten on the altar and said, Lord, I promise, I want to do what you want to do, and I want to give myself wholly to you, and yet the next day we hold back. That's worse than Ananias and Sapphira ever did. We deserve worse punishment, but God is merciful. You need to fear God and respect the fact that He is a good God and don't take advantage of Him. The legs of the lame are unequal. And you know, the Lord doesn't want you to live in this constant fear, like you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh, is God going to kill me right now? No, not at all. That's not what God wants. You know, I think that while we're walking with the Lord, we'll start to understand what John Newton wrote. You know, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace? He said, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.'" God wants you to be near Him. He's not a big bully in the sky trying to put His thumb on you. No, He wants you to be near Him. And He, as a good father will chasten His children in order to make us come closer. There's this one fella at college. I thought he was getting up for a second before I started. There's this one fella at college. He's been a preacher for years. He went to the Holy Land over and over again. And he learned a lot about culture and about the history of shepherds and things. And he was telling us this one story about how a shepherd, if a lamb will keep running away from the flock up into the mountains, endangering themselves, and he'll go get them a few times, but after a couple times, he might have to take that lamb and hold its front legs in his arm, take his rod and go whack, and break its front legs and bind them up really nice. And then he'll carry that lamb. He'll carry that lamb for months. He'll take that lamb and bring it to the still waters. He'll feed it good grass. He'll keep it close to him, under his jacket to keep it warm, away from danger. And then when that lamb heals, take the bandages off, that lamb will stay right next to him, and it won't run off anymore. Sometimes our good shepherd has to do that to us. But you know, I prefer to not have my legs broken. I think I'm going to stick close to the Lord as best I can, because I don't want to go through any kind of chastening. I don't want to have my rump spanked by my God. And he can do things that hurt. You think you're putting something above spiritual things. Paul Chappell out at West Coast. Make sure I have enough time here. Paul Chappell out at West Coast. He told a story one time about this big construction worker. He owned his own business. And he'd been working this business for several years. Well, there was some sort of a housing boom, and so he had plenty of work. Too much work. And he wanted to build his business, start hiring guys to work for him. And suddenly, he began to miss church. He began to miss out on ministry. He started to put physical things above the spiritual. And Pastor Chappell, he told him, he's like, don't do this. He's like, this is not godly. You got to keep up with the spiritual things, even if your business isn't growing as fast. He said, Pastor, I got to make hay while the sun shines. This isn't going to last forever. And believe me, I'll be back in church ASAP. Well, one morning he got a call from the hospital. And that big, strong construction worker had worked until his heart gave out. And so he went to the hospital, and the man was hooked up to IVs and monitors and just laying there, helpless. Couldn't do anything for himself. And he said, Pastor, I was wrong. I was wrong for putting physical things above the spiritual. And God has slowed me down for a while. He's like, I don't even know if I'll be able to go back to my job, but if I do go back to my job, I'll make sure I keep the first things first from now on. I'm not going to put earthly things above the heavenly things anymore. And that's just one thing the Lord can do that can bring us closer to himself. He's not doing it vindictively. He wants us to love him, and he wants to be able to show his love to us. But let me tell you, it would have been better for him if he didn't have to go to the hospital. It would have been better for him if that's the case. And you know, he might have to take away some things. You know how easy it is to turn your whole life upside down? You might just have to miss work one extra day. And suddenly you lose your job and your house is gone. And your possessions are gone. You got to live somewhere else. Ooh, that can turn your life upside down real easy. There's a lot of things that can... Your health can go immediately. It doesn't take much. Maybe you can get in a car accident and lose a loved one. I've seen that happen before. I had a good friend that died that way. And God can use a lot of things to bring you closer to himself. And you may come to a point where you cannot stand any longer and all you can do is kneel. But it's best if you willingly just say, Lord, I love you and I want to serve you. I want to be your man or your woman. And that way he doesn't have to chasten you. Let's turn it over to Brother Dale now.
Very quickly, time is running out. Do you fear God? This is Fear God, part two. Why fear God? It's very simple. Because it helps us unite. Don't you think it's past time that we as a church body unite one with another, be one accord, working together, put aside every selfish desires and whims and fancies we have? You know, the Bible is very clear in Psalms 86 and verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear his name. That's where it begins. Fear his name. If we would only fear his name, you and I would have unity in one accord. It doesn't make any difference whether we agree or disagree. I implore you to get Psalms 100 33 and read it. It talks about unity and being together in one accord. Acts, and many times it talks about unity and one accord. What happens? Revival breaks out. What happens? We get a desire to win, see souls saved. We need unity. Number five, because if we fear God, it helps us not to sin. Think about that a little bit. It does help us not to sin because we fear an almighty God. In Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The fear of God. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of that. I wish all of us, I especially need to get a hold of that and fear God. Oh, there's a reverent type fear that we're talking about. We need to have that. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, it simply says this, to fear God is required. It's required of us. And here's what it says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee? Come first, but to fear the Lord thy God. That's number one. We need to fear. And if we only learn to fear God, then the rest of it falls in place. The second thing is to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to love him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Do we really love him? If we did, we'd fear him. It's that simple. Go right back to the word fear. Yes, we need to learn to fear God. Because it's our duty. Because he can't kill the body and the soul. He is our final judge. He helps us to unite and be unity with him. Because he helps us not to sin. And simply because it's fear. It's required. I just ask you a question. Do you really fear him? Do you stand in awe who he is? He's all powerful. He's almighty. Why do we fear the devil? And why do we fear men? That's the questions we need to ask ourselves. Do you really fear God?
Just in closing now. There's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And the Bible says that the fear of God is an incredible instrument. Not just instrument, but it's almost like it's, like I've been saying over and over again, it's like two legs that carry you closer to the Lord. We have the grace of God and we have the fear of God. And if you have only one of those or one of the other, you focus on one or the other, you're going to be hobbling along. You're not going to be walking with the Lord the way you ought to. The fear of God is good for your walk. It's just like we said earlier, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't get saved unless you fear God. You didn't see that you're being saved from anything unless you understand that there's judgment coming upon you. And once you're saved, once you have feared God to that point, then you access the grace of God and you receive the goodness of God. And then after that, you have the opportunity to see, as the Bible says, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you see how he is working in your life. And as you're seeing how good he is, then you begin to love him because he first loved you. And as you're loving him, then you do not want to injure him. You don't want to make his heart sad. You don't want to distance yourself from him because you know that a good father will chasten his children. And as you have both of those, both the fear and the grace of God working with each other, you will grow closer to him. My father, one more story. I like the spanking stories. When I was about 12 or 13, I don't remember what I did. I don't remember the circumstance. I think I was mouthy with my mom or something. But my dad, I was doing the dishes, I think. And my dad said, when you're done with that, meet me in the barn. And I thought I was tough as a kid. I was like, right, I'm a teenager now. I can take it. And so when I was done with the dishes, I went out to the barn, and I saw my dad pull out the old dowel rod from on top of the shelf. And he started walking slowly towards me, and he said these words, and He said, "Got any last words?" And I, let me tell you, I thought I was tough, but I got terrified at that point. And I thought, I'm just going to tough it out. I'm not going to cry. You know, he bent me over his knee, and he started wailing on me. And I was just like, okay, I'm tough. I'm not going to cry. And then I realized he's not going to stop until I cry. And so I started crying, and then he still wouldn't stop. So I started bawling, and then he gave a few more whacks and let me up. And I remember, I think that was the last spanking I ever got, because I realized, I mean, when I was 12, I was 6 foot tall, okay? I was a big kid. And I figured if he can spank me now, he can spank me the rest of my teenage years too. And so the fear of my dad taught me to not do that anymore. Christians, you're not above the chastening of God. And it's good for you, and it's good for everybody else around you if you have that healthy respect of God. And when you do sin, it should be a bit of a tremble inside of your heart when you realize that God can chasten you for that. You need to get on your knees, or if you're not capable of that, at least get on the knees of your heart and say, "Lord, please forgive me. I deserve punishment for this, but by the grace of your Son, I claim the blood that I have spurned. But please say, please forgive me anyhow." And the Bible says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He's pleased to do so. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How's your fear of God today? Are you growing in it? Are you focusing more on the grace, or are you continuing in the fear of God? How's the fear of God in you? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Just remember that this week. Chew it over and make it more a part of your life than it has been. Father, I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the words of Brother Dale and the great conviction that he's brought to my heart, and I'm sure everyone else here. And I thank you for your Bible, how it's your holy word and it changes our hearts. And I pray that we would fear you, that we would keep ever in mind who it is saved us, that you are the God of Sinai, but you are also the God of Zion. And Lord, I thank you for your grace and for the fact that you do chasten us to keep us in line. I pray that you would grow us closer to yourself. In Christ's name I pray.